Matthew 16, verse 19. This is Concepts of the Keys, part 3. Matthew 16, 19. And this is the Lord speaking. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have been studying about keys, and we know certain truths now about keys. Can I use my keys to get into Amber's house? God, the hoodlums that we have here. You could try, brother. Yeah. The truth of the matter is, I can't. But I have other tools that allow me to. Credit card. Drive my SUV through the door. You know, various things. They, you know, you can make keys that are not keys into keys. But some of the facts of the kingdom is true. That the keys to the kingdom God is giving to us and has given to us, we are learning that they may not be exactly what we think or how to use them. And what we realize, these simple truths. First, that the keys are given to the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. They are not keys of, they're to the kingdom of heaven, which allows us that once we enter in, we can unlock a whole lot of stuff for the furtherance of the kingdom. Amen? And the other thing is that when we have keys, they are symbolic of power, authority, access, and many other things. But you got to have a key in order to unlock something to have access to it. Amen? Today we're going to talk about key characteristics. What are these things that make the keys elements for our lives? We know that the keys can do a lot of things. We can unlock or we can lock things up. But some of our understanding is we don't just understand the fullness of what these keys do. And so what happens is we turn a relationship to Jesus Christ into a religion. And, you know, I don't know about you, but that's three fingers down the throat. You know, I hate religion. Kevin does too. He's only stuck on one finger, though. He's still a real big work in progress. But, you know, once we get the gangsta out of him, you know, we'd be fine. We get rid of the bling and the ding. We'd be fine, right? Right? That's it. That's what we're talking about. You know, we got to get out of the, we got to get out of this mindset that we are hoodlums. We are kings and priests. And we must have a mindset of regalness, royalty. Our behavior must be one that is exemplary. It is not one that is hidden and blinded by sin, unbelief, doubt. We must be full of faith, and we must operate these keys with the fullness of faith. Amen? Characteristics. What are some of the characteristics of keys? Well, first of all, these keys that Jesus has given to us are laws. Keys are fixed, reliable standards that will always work when properly used. When the laws are used properly, we have nothing to fear, right? When we're driving down the road doing 65 and a 25, we just broke the law, right? They're fixed standards. They're for our protection. And understand that these laws, when we are obedient to the laws that God has set up for us, we actually take a key and begin to unlock the expanse of our lives. We can't blame other people for the things we don't have. We can only blame ourselves because God has given us the keys. And what we don't do is just as detrimental as to what we do do. Amen? So unlocking our lives begins through our faith and obedience to the laws that God has set up for us. It's not meant to be punitive or punishable. It is meant to set us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Our faith and obedience to what the Lord says are our standards. What He sets for us should be our standards. Our conformity to heaven is just the beginning. Hear me. It is just the beginning of utilizing the other keys to expand heaven's influence in your life and in the people around you. So then, our objective is to understand it is imperative that we obey the laws of God. And what are the laws? That's right. Two laws. The two things we're supposed to do. And we don't do them well. So how are we going to keep the Ten Commandments when we can't even do the two? I mean, He dumbed it down for us, and we still have trouble. Right? He should have had written love for dummies, you know, and put it in the thing so that we can all learn. You know, internet for dummies and computers for dummies. Well, love for dummies should be the next one. And I tell you what, I'd buy that one. Because I'm still trying to learn how to love without conditions. But it's imperative. It is imperative that once we access and understand the law of love, we're not going to do things that would first dishonor God and not dishonor others. We're not going to cheat on our exams, right? We don't write them down on our palms or our hands. No, we're not going to cheat and get ahead. We're not going to lie to make ourselves look better. Jesus said the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you begin to operate in truth, guess what? It's hard from the beginning. It really is. But once you set that as your goal every day, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. God, I need your help. I need your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Just like when I shared with you, when I got saved and I was throwing the F-bomb out there, you know. Until you give permission to God to enter into your life, you will stay the same until you allow Him to bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit into your life and change you. It doesn't matter how much Bible reading you do. It doesn't matter how much blame shifting you make. It doesn't matter, because the bottom line is, it's our responsibility before God. We're going to stand before Him and give Him an account. We can live in the past and say, you know what, I had a terrible childhood. Well, today in America, everyone has a terrible childhood. So you got to get off of that one. The keys are designed to unlock your future, to unlock a future of hope, peace, love, success. The blood of Jesus Christ canceled out failure, unbelief. The blood of Jesus Christ sets you free to stand before a holy God saying, Daddy. And God saying, My son, my daughter. I love you. I love you. No matter what, I love you. But what good is it if we have the keys and we just put it in our pocket and we just say, you know what? I'm a Christian. You can say you are. And you can pretend that you are, but you know in your heart that you're not. And I said to a young man one day, I said, you have to be true to yourself. Beginning of truth starts with you. If you are not true to yourself, guess what? All your friends are going to bend you to their wishes. All your parents are going to do is bend them to their wishes. Why not be bent to your Heavenly Father's wishes? And all this other stuff will take care of itself. Really, if you love God, you're going to do the things that your parents say. If you love God, you're going to do the things that God says to do that will bring success into your life. Right? So the first key is understanding that these are laws. These are our standards for our living that do not change. So we have to change. Amen? Another characteristic is the keys are principles. God says, I change not. His principles don't change. Our situation, our feelings, our emotions, all those things change at a drop of a moment. But the principles in which we operate, if they are even built into our lives, will gradually change and bring success for us. God's principles are designed to give us life and an abundant life. That's what they're designed for. As we understand that the keys for life is to release life of full blessing, so are the principles. If you're just bouncing around like Tigger, you know, you know, and there's nothing grounding you, what your life will tell us is all this bouncing, highs and lows, highs and lows, highs and lows. And the Bible says that you will ascend the mountain of God. It paints a picture of a graduation, of continually going up into the mountain of God, removing all the obstacles, because the truth of Jesus Christ is going to clear all the debris, all the holes and stuff that Satan has set for your life. And you see them clearly and you say, that's not love. That's not love. That's love. I'm walking over here. God loves you. And He wants you to operate from these things, because remember He said in the prophets, my designs for you is to give you a future, a hope. That's His plans for us. But because of our fallen estate and because of our fallen mentality, we think that everything that God does is, man, He just wants to take all the fun out of life. Man, I just want to sneak out of the house. I want to go party with my boys. You know, we're going down there. We're going to toke a little bit. We're going to down with a little grubs up, you know. Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, you know, we're going to smack some girls around, you know. We're going to be bopping here. And what happens? Satan steals your ambition, steals your dreams. You're listening to people who have the same addiction, don't want to do anything in their lives, don't want to do anything with their lives. Girls get pregnant, and the parents are embarrassed. And the guys leave the girls. And then the girls are left with desperate situations. So they go to Planned Parenthood, and they say, we got a plan for you. We're going to kill your child. Oh. And you're left with the emotional scarring for the rest of your life. That's the truth of what this world will give you. But if you base your life on principles, base it on standards, you would not get involved with anyone whose standards are far below your own. And to compromise those standards is to compromise who you are, because you're not being true to you. You're allowing your emotions, your feelings of loneliness to come into play, when the reality of it is that only God, Jesus Christ, can fill those voids that are present in our lives. And if we don't build on principles, we build on sand. Amen? Jesus said for us that some of these principles are not the principles of the world. He says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. He tells us that, that in our carnal estate, we are takers and users. We are not givers and blessers. He says, if we want to bless somebody, then we got to stop cursing them. He says, if you want to be a giver, you got to stop being a taker. He says, if you want to love, then you got to stop being selfish. These are all principles, basic principles of the kingdom. We all want success, but we want it at someone else's expense. Well, you know, our success was at Jesus' expense. And to think about it, anything else that we seek in this world is so much far less than what it should be. We settle for good enough, not the best. We want to take revenge. We don't want to forgive. We want to pretend that we're something when we're not. And the reality of it is that the principles that guard our lives, that actually cement our lives, are nowhere to be found, because we have not taken the time to implement them into our own lives. And what happens is we excuse our behaviors, because guess what? I want my pound of flesh and I want to pound yours. When the reality of it is, I have not learned to love, nor have I learned to forgive. And Jesus says, these are the basic principles in which we are to operate. We're not to operate from the carnality of our desires. We're not to operate from the carnality of our wants and wishes. We are to operate from position of love at all times. And if our position is isolating us from the rest of the body of Jesus Christ, then I challenge you to examine your position. If anything, our position should be, we want to gather more and more. As Paul says, you know, as you see the day of Jesus Christ coming, assemble yourselves. Assemble yourselves. You know, it's not going to church, it's being the church. And that is the key element that we have to understand. Being the church operates from love. I genuinely love each and every one of you guys. I just don't have the time to express that. And so out of my love for you, I try to do things that will meet your needs. If those needs are not being met, then you and I need to sit down and we need to discuss this so that you may understand my position and I can understand yours better. And if there's another solution that I'm not aware of, then make me aware. That's what love is about. Love isn't keeping it to myself and saying, oh man, you know, Pastor, he don't love me. He says he loves me, but he don't love me. Look how he shows his love. He isolates himself. I don't isolate myself. I invite you. Who's isolating who? The devil's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may have to devour. If we isolate ourselves one from another, it's Satan that's doing it, not God. Another key to the operation is systems. In every operation, there are systems that operate. In government, and I told you, Christianity is a government. It is not a religion. The government in the United States has various systems. It has an educational system. It has a defense system. It has a business system. All these systems integrated together actually incorporate parts of our lives. And the more successful we are to operate within these systems, the more success we realize from them systems. Correct? Oh, well, Holly's awake. Praise God. And that's true. We have a bunch of keys that we don't know what unlocks the system for, but yet we're sitting there bellyache and praying the Jimmy prayers. Oh God, give me, give me, give me. God says, I gave you the keys. I gave you the keys. Jesse, what do you need in your life? I gave you the keys. Open it up. Go knock on the door. Find the door. Knock on it. Anybody home? Yes, but they're locked in. Oh, that one lets me in. Okay. We don't want to do that. We want somebody else to do it for us. You know what? I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it for you. You have to be man and woman enough to want it bad enough to do it for yourself. I did it for myself. And God's changed me and continues to change me. My Jesus can't be your Jesus. It's impossible. But Jesus is the same Jesus to all of us. He knows what your needs are and He knows what He wants to give to you. You just got to know that you want it bad enough in order to operate in these things in its simplicity. Being armed with knowledge, we gain from the laws and principles that actually places keys into our hands. When we open up something else, we actually get more keys. If you have a key to get into a bank, okay? You get into the bank, right? First key is opening the door. Then you go to the director and say, look, I have a safety deposit box. I need to unlock it. Then that person comes in with a set of keys, gets you into the area where it is. Then they provide you with the key to get into your box to unlock it. Can you see how this works? It's all in keys. The key is to love. If I want to love someone, I must be willing to love them unconditionally. And it's hard because of my fallen nature. I have conditions built on you guys, as you do with me. Every relationship that we have is based on conditions. God's relationship is unconditional. He's met every condition. It's just whether we're going to love him back or not. Love these systems. Telecommunication systems. Today, telecommunication is worldwide. It's wireless. But there are keys. You must punch in a key in order to get into these systems. Knowledge is power, and it's essential for us to know how the kingdom operates to maximize heaven's influence upon this world for the glory of God. It isn't whether I can love you enough. It's a matter if I release God's love to love you enough. The key is releasing God to do what He wants to do, not what I say He should do. It's me conforming to what He wants, not what I want. And that doesn't mean that the problem with our fallen nature is that we think God wants to take away all our fun. The truth of the matter is, God wants us to have a lot of fun that will not hurt us. That's the truth. But we don't want that. We want to have our fun. I know. Cyndi Lauper song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I know. Four, keys activate functions. Cars run on gas. But to turn on the ignition is how the car functions. You can sit there and say, man, I am driving this car and never put the key into the ignition to get it to rev up. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ in America is. We're sitting in the car and we're saying, man, feel the power of this thing. Smell the leather, the newness of this. God is so awesome. Ooh, man, this is great. And we never once, power of praise, power of worship. Never once. We never demonstrate how awesome God is because, you know what? We're just satisfied sitting in the front seat. We're kind of like Rain Man. Dad lets me drive. Ooh, ooh. Dad lets me drive. We're just satisfied in sitting in the car. Dad gave you the keys. He wants you to drive it. But if you don't know how it functions, what you will do is crash and burn. Really, it's the truth. It all functions together. And it's all predicated on our faith and obedience to unlocking Jesus Christ so that we may experience the fullness of life that He desires for us. The keys are designed to unlock so that we can enjoy our privileges and rights as citizens of heaven, not to bemoan that we are citizens of the world. The problem is we think we can exhaust God, but the truth is we can never exhaust Him or ever come to the end of Him. It's impossible. And I gave you the illustration that to give us the immensity of God, the Scripture says that He holds the universe in His hand. How big is God? How big is your God? The little itty-bitty childish problems that we got going on in our lives is so much smaller, and He's holding the function of this universe in which we live in. He's holding that together. How much more can He hold your life together that is falling apart because you have not experienced nor released love that God has placed in you? Amen? Keys initiate action. Just because we have the keys to the ignition, we put it in the ignition, the car will not start until we turn it, until we initiate that action. Then you can begin to start feeling the power. When you start raising your hands up to God and you start focusing on God, that is the turning of that key to begin to experience the power of the living God. Jesus says, I inhabit the praises of my people. Which says to me that when I begin to turn the key on and I start loving Him by my worship and praise to Him, I experience Him in a new way. It's not liturgical. It's not religious. It's not doctrinal. It has nothing to do with my head. It has everything to do with my heart. And as I experience Him, I am then releasing that experience to other people that they may know God, who wants them to know Him, who died for that right for Him to know them. Keys are principles that the kingdom of God operates with. To turn the keys on is to give us access to the plans, strategies, blueprints, and patterns of God so that we can understand what God is doing in our day. It is not for us to be Bible theologians and stuff. It is so that we can understand the design that what He did 2,000 years ago is still what He's doing today. It's just that we have not understood what it is He's doing. Because we have not understood does not make the facts the facts. The truth is that God is not doing anything different except saving people, preparing the wicked for destruction, and us going to heaven for party time. That's the truth. You may be able to turn the key on, but you will not experience anything until you put the car in gear. A lot of us are afraid to just turn the car on. We're afraid to experience God in a new way. Because we've heard of what other people have experienced and we've misconstrued because of our ignorance the truth of what God is really about. It's no different than Israel being in the desert and Moses trying to introduce Israel to God, and God's up on the mountain in thunders and lightnings. And they're going, whoa, yo, dude. You go up and talk to Him. Come back, tell us, and we'll do what He tells us to do. Unless you have a personal relationship with God, you will not even do that. Because until God speaks to you personally, makes a divine revelation to who He is and who you are not, what you're doing is you're just going around a mountain. You're just kidding yourself. You're faking out, thinking that you've got everything in control when you are really out of control. And going in a circle is just showing you how out of control you are. I always say stop, drop, and roll out of the situation. Stand up and look and see what's going on. You will have a better idea of what your life is when you stop doing the same thing, you drop what you got your hands doing, and roll out of it to look in and really see it from an objective point of view. We are seated in heavenly places. We need to learn how to look at those situations from God's perspective, no longer our perspective. God loves us. And He wants you to experience His love each and every waking moment. And you've heard us talk about our spirits don't ever sleep. They're always in communion with God. And that is true. Until we engage, put the car in gear, we will never experience anything. We will blame everybody for our lack. Keys are not a substitute for our feelings. Our mind, will, and emotions are influenced by our wishful thinking and good intentions, which we know that the road to hell is paved with. This is why our soul must be transformed, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be under control of the Holy Spirit in order for us to flow in the power and authority. The only reason why I've been successful in some of the power and authority is because I've learned to engage, put in gear the car that God and I are driving in. And really, He is the car. He's just giving me the key to learn what doors to open so that the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can flow. That's the only difference. And I'm only a half a step ahead of you guys. The world system infers to get ahead, we must rob, steal, cheat, lie, manipulate, and yes, even kill all those who are in our way. The kingdom system is completely and diametrically different in operation. To get is the first to give. To have, you must first release. To hold on to, you must first give up. And to receive love, you must surrender your hatred and bitterness. According to Mark 10, 17 through 23. The clashing of the world with the kingdom makes it impossible for the worldly to comprehend the kingdom or even how it works. We do not understand because we would relish and want to stay in our stinking thinking. That's the truth. Everybody else is messed up but me, is what our stinking thinking says. It's all right for me sit at home and do nothing. It's all right, you know, for everybody else to go to work. It's all right for me to cheat on my boyfriend or girlfriend. It's okay. And when I get older, I just do that in life. Because marriage to me is just, you know, it's just a piece of paper. I have a wife, you know, it's kind of like this little watch. I have a wife, but, you know, I'll run on her. Or she'll run on me, whatever. And the carnality of that love is detrimental and destructive. Until we set the principles and laws of God into our lives and allow the love of Jesus Christ to fill in those areas, to set the foundation of our lives, we are walking in blind ignorance and we are destined to fall into the ditch. Let me read to you what the prophet Hosea says about all those people. In Proverbs 10:22, it says, "The blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and He adds no trouble to it." In other words, you walk the straight and narrow, God will bless you so that you can bless others. But He also gives us this warning out of Hosea chapter 4. Mind you, we are spiritual Israel, and God is speaking to His people today through this message. Hosea 4 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursings and lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. And because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increase, the more they sin against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like people, like priests. I will punish both of them for their own ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but have not enough. They will engage in prostitution but not increase because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which they have taken away their understanding. They consult with wooden idols and they answer to a stick. The spirit of the prostitute lead them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, which are shade, and it's pleasant. Therefore your daughters will turn to prostitutes and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-laws when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with temple prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah be guilty. Do not go up to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth Eban, and do not swear as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, like stubborn heifers. How then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in the meadow? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. The rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them to shame. Much the same as what's going on in America today. Just look around and see what the prophet is saying and look at your life and look at the life in America. Principles work, we don't understand. Principles always established by the manufacturer, and the manufacturer always gives a manual to ensure the success of the operation of their products. We have a manual, but we don't understand how it's used. Because we don't understand, we do the things we know not to do. Unfortunately for us, God calls this sin. And because we continue to sin and call ourselves Christians, God will punish us so severely that it will be punished into the next generation. Think about it. What you're doing now is going to affect your children and your children's children. God says He will punish us so severely that it will affect the next generation. And just because we call ourselves something doesn't make it so. God says His ways will lead to wealth and success without trouble, but the choice to that success is ours. God expects us to take these keys, unleash heaven's abundance upon our lives so that we can influence the world for God's glory. God is not angry with us. He is expressively warning us. One day, if we have continued in a sinful behavior, calling ourselves Christians, that we will stand before Him and we will give an account. And He says to us that in our lives will reflect the punishment of God because we will have nothing but continued lack. And because we have continued lack, we will have continued want. Until we become satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has provided for us, we are destined for eternal damnation. That is what the Word of God says. It's not once saved, always saved. It's not going to church. It's not being religious. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with our relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said there's only one way to keep you as a citizen, keep you in heaven. Oprah says there's many ways. She does. She says there's many ways because you could call God whatever God is. But I know the God because I've met Him. And He ain't what Oprah says. He's far more awesome than I could ever ask or imagine. And I have only just touched the toenail of His feet because I am too ashamed to gaze upon His glory. And I'm only a half a step ahead of you guys. God has given us His Word to ensure our success. The choice is ours, and the blame is totally ours. If we choose to not be in His Word and begin to apply the principles that we know that will ensure our success, that is to our shame. And if we continue in that, it will be to the shame of our children. The choice is ours. God has made His choice to save us and show us how great He loves us. The rest is up to us. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You. I thank You that You have given us the keys that unlock success. Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name, God, that we lock up failure. We lock up thoughts that would keep us from maintaining success. I lock up doubt, unbelief, bitterness, resentment. I lock up those things, God, that would hinder us. I loose, God, with the keys of the kingdom. I loose an abundance upon Your people, an abundance of love for You, God, abundance of worship for You, God, an abundance of satisfaction of being called Your children, God. God, I release the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon Your people today, God, that we may begin to understand and begin to build our lives to Your glory, that we would begin to influence people, God, and show the love of Jesus Christ in a more real way, God, than just some stupid liturgical religious exercise every Sunday, God. God, reveal Your glory. Reveal the awesomeness of what You have for us, God. You are Creator of heaven and earth. There is no God besides You. And to think that we can live our lives without an accounting is foolishness. Because the Bible says, a fool thinks in his heart that there is no God. God, I don't want any of us to be a fool except for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.